Welcome to Monsters and Mechanics, a War Machine podcast from the Iowa Meta, where we dojo lists here and then we talk about how they do, because every list that we talk about here in this podcast, we put on the table. That's our thing, and that's what we like to do. My name is Micah Walker, and I'm joined by my two co-hosts. Go ahead and introduce yourselves.
My name is Tim.
My name is Elias.
Yeah, so we had a little bit of a run earlier, and discovered that our software wasn't working optimally, so we're kind of back for take two. I'll go ahead and just quickly go over some of the things I talked about. I've been bouncing around factions a little bit. Turns out I'm really bad at induction chains, so my Orion list never performed optimally, and that was 100% user error. Whenever I did get to, you know, live the dream and get some of those tasty monitor shots, they did perform as advertised. But I just had a really hard time with that. Also, there's a lot of Scorn in my meta, and Scorn debuffs, I just have a hard time managing that, especially with Axioms that can get shot from everywhere. There are not enough shield guards, even in that theme, the way I poorly play it. So I shifted over to Blindwater for a while to play some really nicely painted gators that I have. But I'm having a hard time making a pair there. And I was finding that I was starting to get a little bit lost, and I was trying to remember all these new rules and started losing some of my fundamentals, like not walking into people's walking melee threat ranges. So I'm back to Protectorate, and I'm committed to playing Protectorate for a solid year up until Lock and Load 2019. So that's the plan. And we welcome you
back in open arms.
Yeah, we got some tasty dojo Sirenias on deck. We'll be talking about that next. Why don't you go ahead and talk about how your lists were, Tim?
All right. So the important thing to note about Sirenia is that she is not actually available to me. I just have her rules on War Room. That being said, I can't wait to play her so much. Oh my goodness, she looks amazing. I plan on running Sirenia with two Guardians, a Reckoner, two Allegiance, two Racks, two units of Idrians, with the Idrians UAs being free from the Faithful Masses theme. Ooh, yes, Faithful Masses. And, of course, Holy Zealots to round out the group, because she has Iron Resolve and needs to give it to something. The list looks ridiculous. We're talking, like, POW 18 plus 2 plus 2 plus 2 Guardians. The Reckoners are POW 17 plus 2 plus 2 plus 2. The Idrians are, like, POW 16 on a charge on their prey target with positive charge. The damage output and the defense is ridiculous. We're talking like Ashlyn levels of defense. It's pretty sweet. I super enjoy the way the whole thing looks. You actually kill an Idrian, the Legion of the Order of the Fist get a move. You miss the Legion of the Order of the Fist, they get to move again. Speed 8, Allegiance of the Order of the Fist. There's a lot of good stuff going on right now.
That all sounds very disgusting. Speaking of lists that we played, Tim, how did your Tristan 2 list play last week? If you can go over that just a little bit.
Absolutely awful. As it turns out, my positioning is awful. And when you force someone to be low on the clock, they tend to make risky plays. And risky plays on a defense 14, armor 16 caster is not a good thing. Both of my games I played, I was up against Circle and then Retribution. I lost both of them. The first one against Circle, the guy had about a minute and a half left on his clock. The second game, the Retribution player had about 10 minutes on his clock. Both of them involved Tristan dying face first in the mud.
All right.
Sad times. Speaking of Retribution, Elias, what did you have cooked up?
All right, from last time? Last week, I was playing, our last time we recorded, which was about a month and a half ago, for those who aren't on the recording side of things. I was running around with a Helena list that featured double sentinels, as she does, along with four heavies, which is a list you could not make before themes, and I am still loving it. It is probably going to be my main list until I pick up Crucible Guard, and maybe even after Crucible Guard. I got a couple chances to play it in a couple different places. I played it up against a Kador player, testing out some of his new Armored Core toys. Turns out Sentinels and Heavies just win that game in general, at least against Irusk 1. Got a little bit of a lead up in scenario and then just kind of pushed through attrition, going back and forth a little bit, but the Heavies won out, and I still had a whole bunch of Sentinels left that were coming up on the flank, so he ended up conceding that game because it was getting a little late for him. He's from New Zealand. And then I played it up against some Grimkin. Turns out Incorporeal Stealth models are a little bit of a problem for the list. I'm talking about you, Mr. Gremlin Swarm. You suck.
Before you continue real quick, I just want to say that the new Kador releases are amazing. Sorsha 3 does literally everything that Kador wants to do. You take the big dudes, you take the giant robots, the giant robots smash, the little dudes help out. It's pretty awesome.
Yeah.
I have to say that is definitely for sure. But going back to my game, I did end up losing that game. I got a nice 3-0 lead on scenario and spread the net, but he was able to contest me out and really mess with my jacks using the Gremlin Swarms. And then I wasn't able to properly attrition after that, as he was playing Child. So I was having a little bit of trouble with my threat ranges in that list. So I'm looking at something that can really handle the Gremlin Swarms, which I really felt were the real key disaster areas for that list. So that's going to be something that I play. I'm going to be looking at in a second list. Hopefully I might be able to dojo that a little bit tonight if I don't get too caught up in Crucible Guard.
Yeah, we're all looking forward to the stuff that we saw from Lock and Load in regards to War Machine. But yeah, I think we can just pop right into you were talking about Thyron earlier.
Yeah, I haven't gotten something too planned out yet. My big issue right now is I don't have a ton of models available for Defenders of Ios, which I really feel is where I want to sit with that list. So I'm just going to kind of pull that up a little bit. I have a tentative list in my war room, but I don't think I'm not super in love with it at the moment. But the basis of the list is basically just going to be Thyron with a Fey Knight Guardian. Get that sweet defense 17 against melee.
Why wouldn't you take him?
Exactly. Silas can help a little bit with the focus. I'm going to have a list healer to prevent against any stationary or knockdown shenanigans to prevent that defense 17 riposte action that just says, no, you don't. I'm going to have an AFG because the only thing better than an AFG is an AFG with Blessed.
Look at that.
That just shoots things really well. I'm probably going to have a unit of Halberdiers in there, because Halberdiers are good, as it turns out. There will probably be a unit of Risavast Defenders, because I'm really enjoying them. They've been performing well for me the last several games, as long as I have something that can allow them to actually get up into the fight. And the real sweet tech, speaking of Grimkin in particular, I'm going to be bringing a heavy rifle team. Because with the House Guard Thane, I can allow it to see through stealth. And then with Spellpiercer, I can make it magical. So I can just shoot a nice good old POW... What is it? POW 8 yeah, Armor Pierce into those juicy arm 13 gremlin swarms, which should just...
I was going to say, aren't they like armor 12?
Yeah, they're pretty low. So I'll be here, plus with two dice to be able to pretty reliably just one-shot gremlin swarm to turn.
Yeah, you kill on not snakes.
Yeah.
But you also, if you're... You also could get boosted attack rolls if you're dudes base to base there. So,
oh yeah, yeah. You're hitting.
So let's talk a little bit about Fyron in particular.
Hey, wait, real quick. Sorry, I don't think you finished your list because I didn't catch the Jax.
Oh, let's see. I've got a few points left. I haven't. I always like a Banshee with him. I got two of those. I'll probably take both of them. They turns out that Blessed POW 20s after the Arcanist with a free charge kill a lot of stuff. Also, a Assail goes well on them.
Oh, yeah, they're great.
With the Assail gives additional distance to slams, and the Banshees have momentum on their gun. So when you shoot something that's a small or medium base, it actually gets slammed die 3 plus 2 inches, which is really cute. Also, it's just a free charge.
I didn't even think about that. Yeah, their slam guns would benefit from a Assail.
Yeah, unfortunately, oh, yeah, you can't use it against big, large bases. But other than that, your small and medium bases just fly through things.
Yeah, when you're sending something 3 to 5 inches instead of 1 to 3, like deep into support, and especially like especially when you think about how small and medium bases like to space around each other, 3 inches, that you're almost guaranteed to hit something else because they're more likely to be in that 3 to 5 window
than they are
in the 1 to 3.
Where I'm from, we like to call that a problem solver.
Oh, I think we're all from roughly the same place, but we'll allow it. So I wanted to talk about the caster a little bit. I was trying to look up, see if it was in any of the Conflict Chamber events since I started running Conflict Chamber. With my tournaments I run. But sadly, the oldest event I have was the one where we forced Jonathan to play Raven all day, and then he won the event, which was funny. Jeez,
I need to shake that man's hand.
Well, he is Jank Master Supreme. You've got some pretty cool stuff here. You have Onslaught. It's a very, especially if you're running troop heavy, like anything that wants to charge, like especially with the Assail. It's a very good spell. I've enjoyed it I believe Axis has something similar, and also some minions casters have that. So that's a great tool. Spell Piercer, of course, is the moneymaker.
It's the bane of all Menoth.
It kind of is. It's also right now, let's just say my wife is running Baldur 2 double Woldraths, and that's a way to deal with that.
I feel so sorry for her. Oh man.
Yeah,
she's having fun.
I mean, the list is a lot of fun. I mean, one of our players actually ran that, but the downside is when you play a spell piercer or something that can just crack armor, they start crying.
Yeah, well, her other list is pretty awesome, but we're not here to talk about that.
Oh, Assail is circle except for myself.
Assail. We already mentioned that's a very great buff for Jax. Ground Zero, I don't think you're going to maybe situational useful. Storm Rager is great on certain solos, especially some of the ones that you do get in here. Like, what's his face? Aelith Veer, the guy who never dies.
Yeah, or the Fae Knight are both really good. I actually prefer to just keep it on Thyron himself. It pushes him up to nearly Butcher levels of damage output. It also gets him to nearly Butcher levels of armor survivability. And this is not even including the defense plus riposte survivability. It lets him play very midfield or up front. And as long as you have something that could protect it against any of your defense lowering mechanisms, particularly stationary and knockdown, which is what the list healer is for. It allows him to play extremely midfield, really bully the table, and have literally the best personal damage output in the faction. He's an important. I usually just slap Storm Rager on himself because it's a 3-cost upkeep. So I usually just stays on Thyron. He just kind of sits there in the middle saying, "Come at me, bro." It actually allows him to use Ground Zero a little bit to kind of help him clear zones. If there's a real massive infantry, he can just, instead of hitting something four times with 3 focus, he can just...
Yeah. So one of the things I like about this caster, and I know he's not necessarily the most looked at caster in Retribution. The thing I like about him is that for a melee base, like he does look very like his kit does cater towards melee based armies, and sometimes like melee based armies are often going to take the alpha. They're going to get hit first. Defenders, the halberdiers kind of help prevent that a little bit, but with his feet and with like things like Storm Rager and then his Field Marshal Cleave, it lets you really deal with like the jam. If people try to jam you out to keep you from charging, he responds really well to that too. So he has a lot of important tools like Pathfinder, Magic Weapons, and Blessed Weapons that you really do need for a melee army. And then his feet giving you extra die to hit is like, that's the only thing he doesn't have is a straight up damage buff. But in a lot of situations that the blessed weapons are going to be about the equivalent of a damage buff. So
yeah, it's not perfect into things like Grimkin or Trolls, which could be a little bit of a problem. It's really good into Baldur too. That's one of the things I'm really hoping to focus on. Is that I was kind of looking at him anyway, but I thought Baldur 2 is a little too specific. But with the Grimkin also being a problem with their Gremlin Swarms, I figured Spellpiercer is a great way to deal with a Corporal, and that should help me be a good complement with my primary list, which is the Helena. Just screw you
over. So given that I've recently been playing Maelok Quad Gators, he's really good into that list because some of their defensive tech is either based on creating rough terrain or it's based on armor buffs. So like him, like you wouldn't be able to ignore on you, be able to ignore the feet, but there's a good chance that you could, like, after that's down, you're able to charge in, and rep does hit pretty hard. So when they charge, so it's
that's that note. I just want to comment that I remember the last time I played against your Thyron, or actually in specific the rest of us defenders, they did a lot of damage, and Thyron actually helps them out a lot with sidestep and the additional die to hit. Mm-hmm. But more importantly, if you're up against a faction with high defense like Circle, like their Warpwolves, which are typically like 14, 17s, or if you're up against the Flying Nephilim from Legion being like 14, 16s, the rest of us defenders do a lot of damage into those guys. Like, they have the hit to actually work with that. Yeah. They have the damage output.
Yeah.
So that aspect, I find a lot of people don't talk about when it comes to the rest of us, and that they do, in fact, do damage, and they do, in fact, take hits.
So, I think when you're looking at a situation where you can have Pathfinder when you're charging blessed magical weapons, 3 dice to hit, 3 or 4 dice to damage, I think that's a good spot to be in. Also, being able to dig deeper into armies is also a great thing too with the sidestep and cleave. So I like him a lot. He is very specific about what he wants to do, and I think your list is a great example of that.
I'll be looking for. I might be looking to test it out. I've been looking for a pair for my off list for a little bit, or for my main list a little bit, for a while now. And I think we can talk about it a little bit more later on when we get to our topic later tonight. Do we have any more dojo we want to talk about?
So I did make a Sirenia list. I'm going to go ahead and keep it super secret until she comes out, because I'm also kind of waiting to see. I think my list is somewhat hinging on whether or not all the changes for the Shrine of the Lawgiver go through for Guardians of the Temple, but I think she's going to be a lot of fun in that theme. But considering that we're a little bit behind on time because of our mishap earlier, we can go ahead and transition into the next thing.
Before we do that, I just want to say, have you guys seen the picture for the temple? That thing is huge.
I've heard about it. Yeah. I've not seen the direct comparison.
Yeah,
there's a one for one that it's actually taller than the Judicator.
Yeah. So that's what we were talking a little bit about model costs earlier, which is something that's kind of near and dear to my heart, and I need to get back to writing about costs of playing the game. But I was pleasantly surprised to see that for its size, it's only $75.
Oh, that's actually really nice.
Some people might react to that different than others, but considering that it's larger than our largest model in Protectorate, and it's $75, and that's probably the cheapest Bahi model yet, so I'm pretty happy.
I'm having flashbacks to the Hooch Hauler being like, what was that?
165. So it's you can buy two shrines for the cost of one Hooch Hauler.
And you still have enough money afterwards for lunch.
For shipping.
But shipping's free from Bahi, remember?
Yeah. Well, I'm just kidding, but yeah. So we were planning to talk a little bit about Sweeper and Pivot's lists.
It is the hottest thing to talk about right now.
And yeah, we are a list building podcast, so I figured we'd probably better.
Yeah, and it's pretty relevant to. Especially Elias's situation. I know that Tim and I, our dojo tonight is more us just drooling over Sirenia.
But, I do that often.
Yeah, new shinies are new. But yeah, let's talk a little bit about Sweepers and Pivots. From what I understand about it, and I actually had to go look it up and listen to Tim Bankey explain it to everybody. But basically, your sweeper list is going to be the list out of your... If you're following this theory, your sweeper list is your list that asks, like, the hardest question. Some people describe it as a gear check. It's basically, if you do not have a solution for that list, it's going to be a bad time. Basically, when you're going into the list selection process, your goal is with your sweeper list to be looking for reasons not to drop it. Essentially, your default plan is to drop your sweeper. Your pivot list is a list where I think this is where the definitions vary a little bit more. People would consider a pivot. But your pivot list is basically a list that has a lot of tools or has a lot of questions or has a lot of solutions, or a combination of the three. Basically, it's your toolbox list or caster. So, for instance, for Protectorate, Thyra, and about any Thyra list that ever existed is probably a pivot list, because she has so much utility. And can do all kinds of crazy things.
Actually, it's funny you should mention that, because when I built my list for the Wisconsin tournament, some like it was like a year ago or something along those lines, right?
A little over a year ago, yeah.
Yeah, so when I built my list, it was that was most certainly my sweeper list. It asked the hardest questions between the two lists.
Yeah, I think she can definitely be built that way. So looking back at like 2016, my main list was an Amon Andraza Jack list, and then my off list was Thyra Guardians. I probably would make it Thyra Faithful Masses now, which that might be like if we have time, that might be my dojo for tonight. But we want to go a little bit around. Like, is my explanation the way that I know we had a little bit of variance in the terms earlier, but like, is that kind of cover what we're thinking when we think of sweepers and pivots?
Yeah, I think that you had a really good explanation, kind of hit pretty much all the points that I really like to look at it with. My big, a lot of people consider, say it's just a question answer list paradigm, but it's got a little bit more of a twist than that. The biggest thing that's really different is the sweeper list is very much focused on efficiency. You're wanting to build your list to have the most efficient models, have it ask an efficient question, be a real gear chap, saying, hey, I am going to be more efficient than you, usually focused around attrition. Whereas your pivot list is very much focused on flexibility instead of efficiency. And it really, like, in that dynamic really lets you build your list however you really want, kind of. Like Tim was saying, you can really build pretty much any caster and any theme to be either sweeper or pivot, depending on how you build it. If you look at it, efficiency versus flexibility, and that allows you to really makes it pretty straightforward to build your list, and it's a very good plan to build your pair for. It really gives a really solid answer and plan for list selection and the list selection stage of Steamroller. It makes it very straightforward.
And in an ironic twist, I actually am not actually a huge fan of this thought process. I mean, in my personal opinion, it's the same as it always has been. It's a question and an answers list. But the difference is, instead of, you know, like figuring out like your answers list first, you figure out your question first. So like, or rather, sorry, it's the same as it was before, but it's, the best example I could give is, why would you ever make a list that is, like, as many answers as you can, and then not play that first? Like, if I have a list that has a lot of anti-stealth strategy, a lot of anti-magic strategy, then I'm going into, like, let's say, for example, Crix, even if my sweeper or my questions list would be really good into Crix, why wouldn't I play my answer list, because it answers everything that they care about?
Yeah, that's not a bad question, and I don't disagree with that sentiment. I think like the way that I put it is that it's not like a 2.0 version of the question and answer theory. I think it's more like a 1.1. What I've gotten from this is that it's mostly that your main list, everyone always had like a main list and then your off list. That's always been a thing. Most of the time there's a list that you're looking to drop more, and that's essentially your sweeper, and that's not changed. I think it's mostly the way that people are looking at that second list. Mm-hmm. If your list has solutions to everything, that might actually, like, that could still, like, having no bad matchups sounds like it could be a good sweeper. The thing that I'm like thinking about though is that your second list or your off list, your pivot in the new terminology, Most people would look at your off list as still needing to be optimized for that caster and theme. So that means that you're putting in, like, the combat solos and stuff like that. Whereas with this, like, new vein of thinking, it's you're more likely to actually reach for your support models. So that means that, like, for instance, I've been looking at Harbinger a lot lately, and I've been looking at some of the Harbinger lists that have been posted since people started talking like this. I've been noticing that there's fewer paladins, and there's actually things like reclaimers in there, which no one would have ever picked up, like, a reclaimer, but, like, they have a utility to them. And I think that that's what it's more about, like picking up a Sanctifier instead of a Templar. Templars are amazing pieces, but, like, Sanctifiers is one of the best ways that Protectorate has to deal with Incorporeal. So, yeah, it's kind of going past some of those more value type options and actually reaching for the support models, even like the support heavies, I mean, even we can do ridiculous things with a Sanctifier and Protectorate, but, like, that's about the best example of a support heavy that I can think of for that faction. And it's a great piece, but a lot of times you'd rather put that, you know, like,
spend the extra point and get a Guardian, or spend an extra point and get an Inditer, or spend an extra point and get a Templar. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Or do the opposite and just pick up a Crusader instead
and get yourself a free
and soul. and have four more points. Yeah, because you're looking to optimize. And in a weird way, like, so I was listening to Line of Sight today, and Chandler was, he never talked about his list on the cast for, like, the Rocky Mountain Rumble, but I went and looked it up, and it's a Resnik 2 list that looks like it wants to be a Amanad Raza list, because it's got six dervishes in it.
Oh, geez.
And so that's a list where you pulled out your optimized caster and you put in a more toolboxy caster. So it's kind of interesting the way that, like, instead of having two highly tuned, like, high octane lists, you're looking at having one of those and being able, like, being willing to make a few concessions in your off list instead of having it be perfectly tuned. So I think it's just an advancement of a concept that's already existed. And yeah, I do agree with you, Tim, that, like, if you have a list that seems to have solutions for a lot of things, you might want to look at making that your primary list.
Yeah, and like, at that point, well, okay, so I used to be into Pokemon, like, at the competitive scene, so I understand exactly what he means by a sweeper and a pivot. And the issue I have with the terminology is that when you're making a list for Pokemon, it's like you're making your army for War Machine. You bring in your sweeper as a Gardevoir, or because you think, you know, you can have it has a good this, a good that, it has a good fairy type, good psychic type, so on and so forth. But the moment that they send in, like, a dark type, or actually a steel type, would actually be a big issue with it, because it's like, it's not going to do nearly as much damage. It's not going to be able to perform as a sweeper. So you're going to swap it out into something else. Which, with War Machine, like, if you say, I'm going to pick this as a sweeper list or a pivot list, there's no instance of swapping out except for that first time. And I think that if you were to describe models as sweepers or walls or pivots or any of the other Pokemon terminology, then it works a lot better. Because, like, you can describe the avatar as a sweeper or a wall a lot better than you can a list that has the avatar. Or you can describe a Sanctifier as a pivot a lot easier than it can anything else. I mean, yeah. Like, I think it needs to be based on the model itself.
Okay. And that was one of the issues that I had with the sweeper pivot paradigm as well. It's like, didn't feel like it was quite, it's not a direct one-to-one for sure, But I do like that it does give us a nice way to talk about that pivot list, which I do feel is fairly unique in the War Machine list building. Like, it is a purposely not efficient list designed to not necessarily to have good matchups, but to have outs. To let you win games you shouldn't. And to directly comment, Tim, on your real problem with the sweeper paradigm, the sweeper pivot paradigm, the reason why you wouldn't want to drop that list that has a lot of your answers is it might not necessarily, while it has those good answers, it might not have the better time in the list. Because if their list doesn't have the ability to really beat your sweeper, you might still want to play that. But, and you usually want to save your pivot for when you don't have a good matchup with your sweeper to just have an out. You don't really want to drop your pivot because it's not efficient. It won't have a good game into much because of the way it's built, if that makes sense. If you're building your pivot, right?
Or commonly.
However, there are pivots out there that have very, very, very strong games that you might want to also treat them as possibly a second sweeper as well.
So kind of moving on a little from this, there's kind of two aspects where this new terminology has helped me kind of understand some things. First off, I was always looking at, hey, I want to bring the two lists I think are strongest in my faction. And I've done that a lot, but sometimes I run into issues where I get to tournaments and I'm like, well, I can't drop this list into anything, so I'm stuck with the other one. And thinking about things in terms of like, you know, sweepers and pivots has made it me think more about, like, well, we always knew that you had to make your quote off list cover the weaknesses of your quote main list. I was mostly thinking, oh, this caster can cover that problem, or if I build it a certain way, but like, I would still try to like have it optimized. You have to find, like, for a pivot, you have to be fine with taking a caster that it might not look like it's probably going to be a list that doesn't pass the eye test. So I kind of stumbled on one of the best pivots I've ever made, which was back in 2016 when I was running Ammon and Thyra a lot. I at MuzonCon it was 2017. Yeah, so at MuzonCon last year, I had a list that just performed horribly and wasn't working right. And so I put together this Krios 1 list out of my bag. And it was Krios 1. I did not have his character Jack with me, so it was two Reckoners, a Redeemer, Devout, Vigilant, Durant 1, and then the Avatar. And that list actually let me win a lot of games that I shouldn't have been able to win, because Lamentation is nasty, and then you had that, Krios 1 was basically unkillable, and the Avatar would have D Ward on it from the start, and that would just be a big pain for my opponent. Then his knockdown feat, like, his assassination angles, like, everything in that list, it's like, well, it's not what people expect, but he has so much of a kit that he could deal with a lot of things. The only thing it didn't have was volume of attacks. And that's why when I got home, I switched in for some more melee jacks to pair with the ranged assassination game. So there, like, that's kind of an example. Like, you could build Krios 1 as a sweeper where you just put all the Redeemers in that list, but I built him into a pivot without knowing what a pivot was, because I needed a list that could hold ground, and just built it out of models in my back. So
It's actually very similar to a list that a buddy of mine, John Damaris, was with. He had Severus 1 with Avatar and the Indictor under Tristan 1. And because the Indictor had Fortify on it and the Avatar had Defender's Ward, it was two armor 23 jacks that could not be knocked down or moved that was in my opponent's grill, or actually in my grill before I could actually do anything. It was really mean, and I wouldn't really expect Severus 1 to be in a very jack-heavy theme list. I kind of expect him to be, well, the way I would run him is with a whole volume of attacks from infantry, because I can get the most out of Eye of Menno.
So little things like that where you might take a little bit of a turn, those are still great lists. But you have to understand what role a list is taking, and I've just had a lot of trouble with making good list pairs, and hopefully that's something that's going to be changing here, because I am learning a lot of things. The second part that I think is important about this sweeper pivot thing is that I took a list to MuzonCon where I built a Resnik 2 list that I thought answered every question, had every tool in the bag. And I didn't win a single game with him because the reality is that it solved some of the things that were powerful locally, but it did not solve every question that exists in the game. And I do not think you can ever build a pivot that's going to answer every single question. And I think that's the reason why having a strong pivot is so important. It's because it actually, you have to have a strong sweeper to take pressure off of the pivot. You have to have a sweeper that puts pressure on your opponent's two lists. So that way, you know which one they can't, you know, they can't ever drop. So, for instance, I think the first tournament I got to top table with, I was playing on top table. I was playing I can't remember what my second list was, but I was playing Testament, and I was kind of playing Testament as a sweeper, although some people will say he's a pivot. But back then, I think, you know, because people didn't know how to deal with him, he was definitely more of a sweeper. But my opponent was like, I can't play Balder 1. I just can't, because Testament's feat just completely ignores that. So it's one of those things where if you're forcing your opponent's hand, it can help your pivot do its job better too. So that's why the importance of you can't just have two defensive lists, because there's always going to be something else out there that your list can't tech for. So that's what my opinion is on it.
I mean, that works pretty well. I mean, I'm still not a huge fan of the ideology. I mean, I think that they mesh in a broad sense, but it's considering two very different games into one thing. I mean, it's like if we were to use the same terminology from Magic the Gathering or from League of Legends. I mean, you could totally call any of these casters a carry, but that's not the same thing.
Yeah, I guess the terminology doesn't pull over very well.
Yeah,
said, you could totally call Resnik or the Butcher or Thyron, all these characters a bruiser, because that in a sense means the same thing.
Yeah.
But it's not the same.
I've had the same I've had the same qualms as you have with this, with even just saying question and answers. Because there's so many questions and so many answers. And sometimes you answer the strength of your answer could vary even depending on the scenario and the zone, and the table.
And the options for your theme.
Yeah.
Yeah,
there's a lot of stuff that goes into that. So I think that thinking about some of the things that have kind of been highlighted more, talking about having more tools, talking about having more utility, and especially talking about having more outs has been very valuable. So, for instance, that Krios 1 list, he has a lot of tools. He has Purification. He has a knockdown feat. He has Lamentation. And then he's got these jacks that can't, like, be targeted by, like, non-magical shooting. The avatar can't be targeted by spells. And then the little triangle, you know, Fort Krios, where it's the Vigilant, the Devout, and Krios, like, he's almost unkillable in that formation. Like, so there's a lot of denial tools.
Micah, stop making me want to play Krios 1.
Oh, I love Krios 1. He's great.
Why are you doing this to me?
This can count as my dojo, but in opposite day, it's something I've played a lot. So, that's kind of what I look at. The other thing too is that he has a lot of outs in that he can just be there to assassinate somebody. Be like, I can't play my other list into you, but I probably can kill your caster if you're sloppy. You know, if you play poorly, I'll top of two you, you know? And it just always, like, forcing your, like, he's a caster that when you put him on the board, if your opponent's list doesn't have the tools to, like, prevent knockdown or ranged assassination, just those two tools, they could be scared, like, pretty scared. The other thing, too, is that, like, I've played into armies that have everything is steady and still won just because they can't cast any spells. So that's, like, there's so many different tools he brings to the table, and I think Thyra's like that, too. She just brings a lot of different things to the table, and how are you going to deal with it? So that's what I, like, that having a real deep set of tools is what I look for in a pivot caster, not someone who's like, oh, I have one specific answer, but building all the little utility pieces into the list around a caster that has a lot of flexibility. That's what I think of.
How dare you make me want to play Krios 1 again?
So, you know, I'm going to just say, so I'll have to put this on the table now, but my dojo that I was going to bring before I went back to Protectorate was is very similar to a list that I did play in a tournament recently, except this new list has another Sacral Vault. Two Sacral Vaults. So it's Yaga, two... Oh, let me pull it up. So it's Yaga,
two
double.
Gators.
No, it's
double turtles.
Double turtles. Yep. So I call it the Yaga triple double because it's got double spitters, double vaults, double crocraters, and then for your solos you have Quack, Long Chops, a Witch Doctor. You also have a Bull Snapper and a Soul Slave. Now this list, it has RFP. It has fire damage as continuous effects. It's got a lot of boostable shooting. The only thing it doesn't really do is melee, but, like, you have signs of importance on all this stuff. You have guns that are magical and see-through stealth. You have the other thing, too, is, like, so you might be up against an army that's resilient to shooting, but, like, if you can deathly dominate with the Sacral Vault, you can get, you know, their sentinels to kill their other sentinels. It turns out that, you know, sentinels are really good at killing sentinels, or, demo core are great at killing demo core, things like that. You get the picture. Like, if you can whittle them down enough with your shooting, and then the Sacral Vault can dominate them, it's a pretty
sounds pretty awesome.
So yeah, like in that, you might think that is something that's built as like almost like a Vlad 1 Rockets concept, but this is actually designed designed to be my sweeper. It's just that I don't have all the models put together yet. But I might have, I'll have to come back in and put that on the table at least once for the podcast's sake, even though I'm pretty committed to playing Protectorate. But that's like just putting in those little things, like the quote optimized list version includes a Dracodile, and I just don't buy that. I'd, you know, the shenanigans that you can do with Quack and two spitters is pretty significant. Like, that's the best use of Enliven in the faction when you have a Carapace heavy that's armor 18, arm 24. You also have counter the interaction between Counterblast, Retaliatory Strike, and Death Rage. So you could still, like, you could theoretically make three attacks with your heavy on your opponent's turn. Also, like, Long Chop's just a random RFP, the feat, the RFPs. Like, and it's a feat that you could think that you use it to get an attritional advantage, but you don't, because it's attrition neutral. You're killing your own stuff to kill your opponent. You only use it if you have to RFP, like just different things like that. So I just think it's like when you're throwing that many dice and you have that many different ways, like, sure, they might not, you know, hey, they're in shield wall and under, but, you know, the fire damage could kill them the next turn. Like, little things like that. Like, it has a lot of things that your opponent has to dance around. So, like, just being resilient to shooting isn't enough.
As a fan of Tristan Durant 2, dice fixing fixes a lot of problems.
Yeah. Yeah. So sometimes a good pivot could just throw enough dice at things that it solves itself. Mm-hmm. And if you're really, really good at Nemo, like former Nemo 3, that's what your sweeper is. But yeah, you could try to make Yaga Yaga sweeper. I think she's actually more kitted to be a pivot.
So before we go on any further or close out or anything like that, I just want to say that it sounds like you said that your Yaga Yaga list was going to be a sweeper.
No, I said that a lot of people are trying to build her as a sweeper, and the what I said in quotes, the optimized list with a Dracodile is intended to be a sweeper.
Okay, then.
So your pivot. But I've built her because the Witch Doctor, like, well, okay. So if you look at her card, her kit doesn't really have anything except for Signs Importance that's like pedal to the metal. Like, she doesn't have any massive like skews. She's just like Signs Importance is a great spell, but like the rest of her kit is like Grave Wind, which is plus two defense, and Poltergeist. That's a very utilitarian spell. She's Ghost Walk, so unit gets ghostly. That's like, that's a solution. Like, you don't just, you wouldn't put that on a model unless you had to. Dead Weight is a nuke, but it has a utility aspect to it. Battle Host it can be an offensive spell. It mostly gets the snappers to move plus two when they're speed two, four. A lot of people look at Battle Host as a way to just catapult heavies in, but like the snappers, they're just using it so they can extend their threat range. Her feet, you never, never should use that unless you have to RFP something, because you're just burning up your own models, and it takes a lot of time. So
it
like,
could be good to also use that feat. It's the one that you kill a guy, and then they take an automatic pal that's equal to what, the armor. Is that correct?
Yeah.
It could also be very useful if you need to, if you desperately need to scalpel out something that's got very good defenses. Cookie Monk. You can, like,
sure. Oh,
here's a pal 16 in the face. I have to kill a guy to do it, but now, I'm also killing your Cookie Monk, which is keeping me from scoring the zone.
So the reason why I have Gatorman Witch Doctor in there is the Gatorman Witch Doctor is actually like a mini version of her, because he has Death Ride, which is plus one movement to undead. There aren't really any undead in this list, but he has Sack Strike, which is an auto-hitting spell nuke with the same principle. Like, it's the same as her feat. It's just he can do that every turn. And then Shadow Walk, he can give one model ghostly. So you already have that with the Witch Doctor. And so Mace mostly just makes her there to, like, just be a Sion's important spot. And I think that that's, like, I think that that's where she needs to be. Not, like you could build her in a way where you're slingshotting heavies in. That's where I've been having problems with a lot of my will work for food lists, is that minions heavies are not very durable.
No, they're not.
So you have to, like, you have to end the game by throwing them in. Like, and I think the reason why Arcadius is kind of the favored son for that is because he has the best chances of just ending the game by throwing something in there. So this list, I built it this way because I want corrosion, I want fire, I want AoEs, I want boostable shooting, I want magical shooting, I want anti-stealth shooting, I want situations where I can use their own models against them. I want situations where my models can get, like, they can throw something at me and I walk away unharmed. Like, it's pretty, the other thing too is, like, with the double vaults, it has the same vibes as a lot of Protectorate stuff. You start killing my stuff, you're powering up the vaults, and the vaults start to run the table. Like, the vaults are also just cancer for single wound infantry because they have Soul Storm. So you can't play a lot of things into that just because they're vaults. Like, so you can't play Exemplars, you can't play Sentinel, like, you can't play Sentinels, you can't play Defenders. Like, you have to have some sort of ranged list, but the vault is arm 20 with 30 boxes. Like, we did the math just the other day, like, Hand of Fated Shock Troopers, not Shock Troopers, Hand of Fated Bombardiers can't take it off the table in one turn. Like, it's really powerful. And then you look at the fact that the Spitters also have Carapace, so they're very resilient to shooting. Like, it's a list where you most of the time, unless you've got multi-wound infantry, you can't deal with it. And then... I'll have to put it on the table now that I said something about it, but that's what I was going to bring.
So what I was trying to ask was, since you feel that is your pivot list, I think my list would probably be the sweeper list, seeing as it is damage, backed up by damage, filled in with damage in every way, shape, and form possible. It's not really there to answer questions. It's there to ask, can you survive? But I think that Elias probably has a pivot list too, yep. Seeing as it's very much so, I can do this, I can do this, I can do this, I can do this, I can do this. Like, I can toss out the rough terrain AoEs from the AFG. I can traverse them afterwards with my onslaught. I have, you have incorporeal, I don't care. You have Protectorate, I don't care.
This is true. So why don't we go ahead and talk about your sweeper list a little bit more, because I'll go ahead and fill in with my pivot, because I talked about my sweeper last time. So go ahead. We're on you. Go ahead, Tim.
So my list is very killy. It kills things a lot. Killy, killy, killy. I forgot.
And that wrapped. So basically your list had, I believe it had double Guardians, double Idrians, and it had Zealots too. And the idea was that You kind of have a defensive skew with the feet, here, but you also...
Real quick, guys, before we get too far into for the sake of our listeners, Tim, would you mind going over your list in its entirety from the beginning, please, before we talk about it too much more?
Of course. It is Cyrenia, two Guardians, a Reckoner, two Allegiance of the Order of the Fist, two Rax, two units of Idrians with their unit attachments. The unit attachments are free, and a unit of Holy Zealots with their unit attachment.
All right, thank you. Continue.
The idea behind the list is that with power, positive charge, and the theme benefit from whenever one of my guys die, my three jacks can murderize anything that comes near them. Oh, sorry, there's also a minimum unit of choir.
Of course.
I always forget about them because they're kind of part of the wall at this point. Like they're meant to be there. But I can murderize anything that gets in my path, at melee or ranged, because as it turns out, praying my enemy unit tends to wipe them off the table. They like to throw one model like on the other side of the field or try to keep them out of the way, which I'm perfectly fine with. Seeing as that means that they're now out of my way, I one time prayed a cavalry unit, and he sent one of them to the other corner of the map, and I said, cool, I don't have to deal with five, I only have to deal with four that I have increased damage on. Also, huge fan of the scenario presence, because I had able to threaten any zone. It doesn't matter whether or not it's on my side of the field or if it's a flag or anything. I can move a guy up there within a turn. Seeing as the Idrians start, assuming I'm player one, they're 13 inches out. They have move speed 7 from dash, so that means that they can charge at 13 inches, and then before the last guy goes, he pops his mini feet, and thus is defense 17 for the... before my opponent even gets to react. That works out pretty well. There's also the Holy Zealots get to clear out infantry pretty well because their AoEs. I don't really have a whole lot of ways to buff the Zealots outside of Iron Resolve. It puts them up to armor 14 or 18 after they lose someone, but their UA means they don't care if they lose someone. Serenia herself can plop herself behind the wall to protect herself, or can plop down another wall to protect the UAs of any of the three units. The Kiki Monks get to advance their 8 inches with dash all the way up the board. Yeah, it's just it's pretty mean and aggressive list. I plan on shoving it in my opponent's face and seeing if they can say, yes, I can answer this. Typically, I'm up against Kador. So they might bring, oh, he has a list that has like every AoE you could imagine. He pumps out like 14 AoEs a turn that are all ridiculously powered. If I don't mini-feet that first turn, I'm going to die pretty quickly.
It's a defensive skew that has the tools that, you know, defensive skews are traditionally weak in, and you're basically providing like a perfect storm with those infantry that you have, and then and it's just going to hit them in the face if they don't find a way to deal with it on turn two.
That's
what makes it a pivot. Like that's kind of the quad gators effect, like the quad posse with Maelok. Like the thing is, like, can you deal with this before it gets to you?
That's more of a sweeper thing, but like, mm-hmm. This is why I don't like sweeper pivots. You could describe the exact same list as a sweeper or a pivot, because like you said, it has all the questions of like, how are you going to deal with this? Like, I'm immune to all the things I'm typically immune to.
And see, I think what adds the last piece of information is like what the meta is, because there's some things where, depending on what the meta is, like it's a pivot and it's a sweeper. Like anyways. That's what I was trying to get at. Like, with the national meta, like, you want to have something that is probably the most linear type of thing that you can have, most optimized as your sweeper. Whereas if you're playing local, like, some things are better sweepers than others. But, like, I think everything has an aspect of both. But, yeah, we've kind of talked about that. But, yeah, I think it's a powerful list. Just like I think that Yaga list is a powerful, like, it has a powerful list. It has
I
more
like the idea of your Yaga list too. I think it looks good. I don't know how I feel about two Sacrovolts, but I think
the situation that can happen is that, like, the Croaks are there in the list. The Croaks, a lot of people look at them being the workhorses, but I think actually the Sacral Vaults are the workhorses. The reason I say that is because I played against a double Sentinel, double Min Desters, Aetherialist at a top table at the last tournament I went to, and I played Yaga double Croaks and single Vault into that with Ambushers. The Vault was the most, like, it was the most workhorse piece on the whole table. Like, my Croaks barely did anything, but the Vault made so many Sentinels kill themselves that it was, like, it was the money maker. Like, the Croaks, like, you know, my opponent just constantly would blinding light them, and so they would never get to do anything, but the real secret weapon was behind them. So, like, having two of those on the table, it's kind of like we were talking with Elias and I were talking about the difference between one AFG and two AFGs in the list, and how having two of them can actually be a force multiplier, like where you have more chances to get that rough terrain to deviate where you want it to be and stuff like that. I think with double Vaults, you have double the soul generation. You have possibly double the fire and double the RFP and double the, deathly domination. So that's you can basically make it so there's no safe place on the board for opposing single wound infantry.
That is a good point.
All right. If I could go ahead and continue back onto Tim's list a little bit. The reason why I do think Tim's list is a powerful sweeper is it still attacks the game in one or two very specific ways. You've got three heavies, three units, and you've got amazing defense with your units. It is very deep. It's definitely it's a powerful defensive skew that once you get into combat, you're also a very powerful armor cracking skew. And what makes it a good a sweeper rather than a pivot is you still have those very specific, very poor matchups. Like, if they're capable of dealing with your high defense pretty trivially, such as, say, an anime Primal Terrors list with multiple Chosen, they're probably out-threading you and then probably cutting through even your defense 15 to 17 pretty relatively easy with all their mat fixers that they have.
Personally, it's not really something that's on the global scale that much, but there's a player locally who uses Kruger 1 who I know will be an issue because the minus 2 range is going to suck. The feat is going to be awful. Like, it's not going to be a fun matchup if I go up against his Kruger 1 list. If he decides to crack out his Kaya 3 list instead, then we're cooking with gas at that point. Like, it's going to be sweet because he's not going to see the to-hit bonuses. The damage output's too strong for him. Yeah, that looks pretty good.
And that's exactly kind of what I'm trying to say. Is like, it's a sweeper because it has a pretty specific game plan it wants to do. But if an opponent has an answer to that specific game plan, you're going to have a bad time. You could still try and outplay that with using player skill instead of a good matchup. But that might be something you want to look towards your pivot, which has just a more generalized approach to the game. It either is very good at assassination or scenario that can really try and force a game where there really shouldn't have been one to begin with.
I find that 9 times out of 10, if it's a skill matchup, it always feels like I lose.
I honestly feel you there because I'm not that great of a player.
Yeah. So I think that is probably a good place to kind of wrap everything up. I think your pivot, like, and we don't have to use this terminology every week, but like, I think your pivot is there designed to help you outplay your opponents, whereas your sweeper is there to help you get favorable matchups. So like, if you can't get a favorable matchup, you have the tools to outplay. And that's what I think the difference between the two of them is. All like right. When you, yeah. Well, I think that was, it's always a lot of fun to chat with you guys. We get to do this again sooner than later, but this is
list. It's going to be fun.
Yeah. Well, this has been Monsters and Mechanics reporting from Iowa, I guess Eastern Iowa for me, Western for Central for the other two of you. And hope to catch you guys next time. This has been Micah.
I'm Tim.
And I'm Elias. See you guys next time.
Bye.
We're on the air now,
yeah,
man.
Okay.
So go for it.
No, like, I'm just doing the math. Like, I'm pretty sure the Reckoner would work out really well too, because it's speed 5, which means you can actually keep up with the army. It has the range attack. Its melee attack is still really good.
Yeah.
Oh man.
And it's even better at mat 8 pal 19 before buffs. Like,
oh dude, I'm pretty sure that thing. Oh, is that thing mat 6? I thought it was 7.
No, it's mat 6.
Oh,
the only
Guardians are 7.
It's just the Guardians. Guardians and Dieters, Devouts, Purifiers, and Dervishes are the only ones that have the mat 7, besides
right.
Character Jacks.
Oh, hey, dude, the Reckoner is going to be defense 14 under her feet.
Yeah, well, that's the
great.
Other thing. Is, yeah, that's why, like, the Ashen Veil Jacks and anything on the Devout, like, being defense 13, it's going to go up to 15, and 15 is pretty hard to hit. And then it having a defensive strike is pretty nasty. Like,
I actually heard some people talking about the Dervish with positive charge and her feet being really stupid, being like POW 17. I mean, my only issue is that you can get up to that point with Ignite. So, I mean, like...
It's mostly the accuracy, because, like, positive charge and a Dervish, you can dig kind of deep into something sometimes. I think though that I do really like my list though, with like Sanctifiers having +2 damage kind of puts them back in line with the rest of your jacks in Protectorate, so they can be hitting at a reliable POW 20, which POW 20 is plenty with most, like, for a heavy, especially a reach heavy that's speed 5 and 14 points. Like,
yeah.
It starts to really make it, it's you're starting to put it into, like, Crusader levels of utility, especially now that it's def 14 on feet turn.
My only issue is that I usually go up against Kador. You know, POW 20 is nice, but they're armor 20. So you're going to be just dice. Compare that to the Guardian, who's going to be POW 24.
But you're just dice, and you don't have to spend a single point of focus on that. Like, that's my argument. And the other thing is that, yeah, like, I would, a lot of times I would take a Reckoner, but, like, when you're going to take some casualties on the way in, like, turning that into something great. Like, yeah, I think... Double Sanctifier, double Idrians could be really bad, like really gross, because the Sanctifiers would be mat 10, pal 22.
I have decided to call 30. The list Noah's Ark. It matches the 2 and 2s.
All right, so should we go ahead and restart this again? And I'll
start it this time.
Yeah.
I'll go ahead and just introduce everyone. We'll do a little bit of a pause so you can find it easier on Audacity, and then I'll get us started.
Oh, and cut that bit out.